Smack Podcast, guys talking smack, the weekly review when we talk about whether SmackDown was a smack up, SmackDowner, or a smack in the face. This is your boy EJ the King.
It's your guy Jay Fields.
And SmackDown Live took place this weekend.
Everett, Washington.
How close is that to Daniel Bryan? Daniel Bryan's from Seattle or he's some part of
Aberdeen.
Aberdeen. Yeah, Aberdeen. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how far the distance is between there. Yeah. But they claimed him. Yeah. No, they represented for
the state of Washington.
The planet's champion tonight.
Yeah.
Or on SmackDown. Yeah. Pretty decent crowd, but we'll get to more details about what happened on the show. But before we do, let's go over a little news and rumors. So it's official. Kenny Omega has signed on AEW, and I think he's what, executive president?
Executive vice president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much sums up his plans after he, his contract went up in New Japan. So what he's doing, say he's open to working with a lot of promotions. And, you know, he can still work New Japan. And he's also open to working with WWE talent, which I'm pretty sure WWE is not going to be too easy to get a hold of or actually negotiate with on that part. But they should.
Yeah.
That'd be big. That'd be huge. If he share talent with AEW and WWE.
I'm all for it.
I'm all for it too as well.
And then the Revival can go on and get that match with the Young Bucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think when they say share with WWE talent, do you think they mean the main roster or just NXT and 205 Live and places like that?
I would think it would basically open the whole thing up. Okay. I mean, like, because you do, I mean, think about it. Rather than these guys necessarily having to leave WWE, they could still go and do big things somewhere else. Like, you know, it's almost like shared talent like back in the territory days, you know, where, you know, WWE would let, you know, Bret Hart come down to Memphis and fight Jerry Lawler, Bam Bam Bigelow would come down here and be involved in a program. And as long as it didn't conflict with his, you know, with the main roster duties, you know what I'm saying, or the big leagues, you know, they let him do it. Whatever. So I see it being quite beneficial. Plus, you don't have these guys can continue to still make the money that they make. Just like they loan out Fabian Aichner to, you know, Evolve. They loan out the Street Profits. Adam Cole is wrestling Evolve, I believe, this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
He's got two matches with Evolve this weekend. One against Shane Strickland and the other one against Darby Allin. So, like, WWE, you know, I know they like to pick and choose who they work with. But, I mean, I would hope that, you know, they would maybe take on a bigger promotion and, you know, do business with a bigger promotion.
Yeah.
Wrestling wins, the fans wins.
Yeah, that's what Kenny Omega said. Yeah. You know, they're doing this for the wrestling community, not just for themselves,
right,
or the company, you know. So it'd be a big, you know, you get those possible dream matches of maybe the Young Bucks versus the Usos or something like that, you know.
Whose contracts are coming up in April?
Yeah, I saw reports of that. Also, I guess we can kind of dive into it, you know, saying Randy Orton is open to having conversation with AEW, you know, because his contract is possibly coming to an end. I don't see him really going anywhere, but I can see him, you know, trying to entertain him possibly and see what's going on over there.
Yeah,
I think him and Cody's real good friends.
Yeah,
so, you know,
from back in the legacy days and, you know, one of the people to kind of help get him to the next level. And plus, you know, I mean, the word is that WWE is basically making promises now. All their underused talent, which we've seen in the last few weeks on WWE programming across the board. Like, they are literally putting people back to work.
Right.
And that's good. Yeah. That's good for the business. But it can't just be this temporary thing. I feel like if WWE is going to, you know, put the Zack Ryders and the Curt Hawkins and the let the Revival get victories and, you know, all those different things like that, that it can't just be until the big fuss over AEW blows over. It needs to be a continuous thing. These guys shouldn't be sitting on the sidelines.
I agree.
So, you know, hopefully it's not just something that kind of, hopefully it's not a business tactic to keep them away from AEW. Hopefully they really plan to invest. There was even word that Vince McMahon is promising to put more attention on the tag team division.
Really?
Yeah.
And you just talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the things that's being promised. They said, give us, according to the reports that I've read, they're saying that WWE is requesting from his talent, hey, give us 3 or 4 months to get you back in, to get the underutilized talent back in the rotation. So
we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, the next 3 or 4 months should be pretty interesting. And you know, a lot of contracts are coming up due after WrestleMania anyway.
Yeah, and they're also talking about the shakeup is happening on, I think, April 16th or something like that.
Yeah, in Montreal. Wow. Yeah, they're doing it in Canada this time.
Think AJ actually going to Raw this time?
I think it's time.
Yeah, I think it's time too, as well. I hate to let him go, but like, hey, you know.
But then you got to remember, though, what do they do for the Fox deal, though? He might stay. Because, I mean, the Fox deal, I mean, he's going to be like the face, I would think.
I would think. I would hope so. You know, that would be big on them. I mean, like, you know, but I think, you know what I'm saying? Like, of course, him. But I see, you know, I think Sterling Miller talked about this on RBU as well. Like, you know, as far as, like, mixing up the talent, as far as the tag team division, because, you know, we already seen New Day on Raw.
Right.
And we are, I think, you know, it's possibly, I think it's time for the Usos to make that jump to Raw.
Yeah.
Bring some fresh, you know, fresh new matchups, Uso versus Revival or things like that to happen on Raw.
That'll be really good.
Things like that, you know, and kind of get, maybe AOP jumps to SmackDown and, you know, just kind of make some kind of swap to the fact that, you know, we get different matchups. Because,
right.
Of course, you know, SmackDown has the best tag team talent, but we kind of get the same matches a lot, even though they're good, but we get the same matches a lot. And the Raw has... tag teams that I do not care about, especially, you know, that Fatal 4-Way.
Oh, my God. I was hoping you were going to say something about that. That was nothing in comparison to the SmackDown 4-Way that we got the week before.
And it's Miller pinpointing on that as well.
It was trash.
Sterling enjoyed it for some reason. That's
what?
I don't know what's going on. You have to check out RB. Yeah, I kind of...
That match was terrible.
I didn't like it at
all. The B-Team, the Lucha, the House Party, the Revival. I'm just glad the Revival won.
Heavy Machinery again.
I'm just glad the Revival won. Yeah. That was the only good thing that came out of the match. Mm-hmm. That match was hard to watch. Raw was hard to watch.
I think I tapped out a while ago. Like,
if they wouldn't have told me Jeff Jarrett was having a match, I would have been long gone.
Oh, so you stayed.
I had to see Jeff Jarrett wrestle. I did. I mean, I'm like the biggest Jarrett mark.
I know.
You know, I mean, I had to see it just one more time. You know, it's just like they would have said Jerry Lawler was going to wrestle. Yeah. I would have tuned in no matter how old they are. You know,
I'm trying to think when exactly did I just sit there and say I know I put in the group that I was done. It was something that happened. I'm like, nah, I don't. What kind of women's?
It was pretty early when you said you were through.
What kind of women's match did they have on Monday? Did they have a?
Oh, Ronda Rousey squashed the Riot Squad.
I saw that.
That's probably when you said you were done.
That's not what I said I'm done. It was somewhere else. It was another women's match. It had to be. It was Nikki Cross.
And Alicia Fox. When they jumped.
Bailey, I didn't even get to that part. I was like, I knew they said it was coming up next. I'm like, nah, I'm straight. You know, I'm good. I think that's when I tapped out. But, yeah. Seeing how we just jumped to Raw about, I don't even know. I think we started with AEW and started talking about talent and everything.
We talked about that four-way. The four-way is really what started the whole Raw talk.
Yeah. And then we talked about revamping the tag team division and all this other stuff. So
that Vince is saying that he's going to give more attention to the tag team.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which I'm all for. If only it... is not just to keep them away from the competition.
Well, you know what? Let's stick a pin on that. Mm-hmm. Want to use that as our GTW? Sure. This is some other thing. I think I promise you, I took notes about the tag team division, in particular what happened on SmackDown this week. So we'll get into that later on. We'll use that as our GTW. But that's all the news and rumors I have.
Okay.
So let's get down with the rundown. So Jay Fields, tell me what happened on SmackDown Live this week.
All right, so the show kicks off with Charlotte Flair. She basically comes down and says that she should be the one to go on to WrestleMania because she's healthy, and she can take it to Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship. And she points to the WrestleMania sign and, you know, kind of, you know, plays against Becky in that way. And then Becky Lynch, who was suspended on Raw by Stephanie McMahon.
Do-do.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? We need a glass break. She appears in the crowd and gets into it with Charlotte and basically says that, you know, then before they can get into it, Triple H comes down to the ring as they're kind of picking at each other and basically says, hey, you all stop it. You know, you need to leave, tells Charlotte to leave the ring. Basically tells Becky that, you know, she should see the doctor if she wants to see Ronda Rousey, you know, like basically to say, you know, long story short, that she's afraid of Ronda Rousey, basically exposing her as a fake, and that she really doesn't want the big moment, the big spotlight, because she could even be playing this injury up, like she may not even be hurt. And then Triple H starts to get out the ring, and then Becky basically goes after Stephanie to say, hey, you know, well, you didn't ask your wife. Was she medically cleared? And Triple H comes back in the ring and kind of goes at it a little harder. And then she slaps Triple H in the face, and then the officials separate.
Unbelievable.
And breaks it up, you know, and basically escort Becky Lynch, you know, get her to leave the ringside. Following that, we get the tag team match that was announced the week previous. The Club, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson versus Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura with Lana in the corner, mm-hmm. in their corner, wearing the walking boot from her injury from Royal Rumble. Long story short, we saw Lana assist Shinsuke Nakamura, who was knocked outside of the ring, help get him up to get him in the ring to help Rusev get the victory against the Club. So we saw Rusev and Shinsuke win the match. And Lana, they all held each other's arms up at the end of the match. Following that, we got a really good promo from the Usos backstage where they were just talking to the camera, basically saying that they were going to go against Shane McMahon and The Miz, and that they're going to be on Mac and Miz TV next week. I hate that already. Not going to go in like I did last week, though, but I don't like it. But it should be a good Miz TV segment with mm-hmm. the Usos involved with The Miz and Shane next week. But damn good promo by the Usos.
Very good.
Following that, we get a one-on-one match, Randy Orton versus Mustafa Ali. We saw Mustafa Ali take a boot to the eye and swelled his eye pretty bad as the match went on, but he was able to continue the match. And he and Orton went on to have a really really back and forth, good match between the two of them. Randy Orton was able to win the match with an RKO as Mustafa Ali went for the 054.
That was beautiful, too.
Yeah, snatched him off the top rope, RKO. Post-match, as Orton was trying to celebrate the victory, Samoa Joe hopped in the ring and hit the Coquito Clutch on Randy Orton and choked him out, and then he kicked Mustafa Ali out the ring. And then Daniel Bryan came out, and Samoa Joe and him met on the ramp and were going to kind of get into it until Eric Rowan appeared. And then when we came back from commercial break, Samoa Joe cut a promo backstage basically saying that every action has a reaction, and that that's why he went after Orton, and that at Elimination Chamber, he's going to be the WWE champion.
I'm disappointed in you, man. I just thought about it.
What'd I do?
What happened last week? I can't believe you missed out on the biggest return in WWE history last week. You didn't bring it up not one time.
You're right.
Do you know what the return
is? I do. Because you just...
I can't believe... I think I meant to say something about it.
It was so much going on. It was so much going on. Now I feel bad.
Yeah.
I feel bad
I was
now.
Counting on you, man.
The triangle.
The triangle return.
The triangle is back. Man, how did I miss that? I think I was just so into what was going on. Man, the triangle came back.
The return of the triangle.
Man, I'm so excited. I was excited. Like, because I watched it live. I think my live reaction to it was like the biggest. I even found a new picture.
I like that one, but I still love the old one. The old one's epic. I mean, anyway.
Yeah. Shout out to Eric Rowan and the return of the triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the awesome, like more cowbell. following that, though, Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan have stepped into the ring. He requested the time to basically talk to the WWE Universe. And he said he was glad to be back in a place where the people actually appreciated him, which they were in Washington, which mm-hmm. is his home state. And the fans are really, really in support of Daniel Bryan. He basically says that they're the only smart people in America, in the world, on the planet. And that this whole entire time, he's been fighting an uphill battle, which is why he created the Eco Championship, WWE Championship belt. And the old belt was a symbol of excess. And that they can't silence him going forward. Really good promo from Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. And then he says that he's going to, of course, be the WWE champion for forever. And that he's going to start by defeating Jeff Hardy later on in the main event. Following that, Jeff Hardy shown backstage with Kyle Braxton. He says nobody's respected the. He says as a former champion, nobody's disrespected the WWE title quite like Daniel Bryan has, and he says that's the only reason why he has to. He's tired of the talk. He said he has to shut him up. And then AJ walks in and says, "How are you gonna do that?" And he says, "Maybe after I shut Daniel Bryan up, I'll shut you up too."
Uh oh. Getting hot.
Whoa, it's getting hot and heavy. Following that, we see Naomi and Carmella talk about their newfound partnership. They've been added to the Elimination Chamber match on the SmackDown side for the tag team women's tag team titles. We also see a video of the Iconics talking about them winning the tag team titles. And then Kyla Braxton is backstage with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, who have now been named Fire and Desire. And I hate it.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's of all the names. Creative team.
Fire and Desire. Shout out to Rick James, man.
I was going to thank you. I was going to do it, too. I just didn't know if I was ready. But yeah, we get this. We get a three-way triple threat women's tag team match. We get Carmella and Naomi versus the Iconics versus versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. We saw Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville pick up the victory after Mandy Rose hit the Angel's Wings. That's Christopher Daniels' name for the move, the double underhook sit out face bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she calls it. I don't think I know.
Mandy.
The Mandy mauling.
The golden something, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. The goddess drop. I don't know. Maybe they should call it that.
Goddess drop. I like it.
I like that.
What was Beth Phoenix's name? Move called?
I don't know.
Anyway, I'll come back to it. No.
Glam Slam.
Glam Slam, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Following that. we see Andrade, Cien Almas, and Zelina Vega as they talk about Rey Mysterio, and they talk about they're going to end the legacy of Rey Mysterio and build the legacy of Andrade. Following that, we get our main event.
Mm-hmm.
We get Daniel Bryan versus with Eric Rowan at ringside versus Jeff Hardy. Pretty good match between the two of them. Jeff Hardy's looking like he's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And rested up, because you know he hasn't been wrestling quite often. Fast forward to the end of the match, senton bomb on Daniel Bryan from Jeff Hardy. Was about to go for the pinfall, but Eric Rowan pulled Jeff Hardy out the ring and caused the disqualification. Post match, everybody's starting to get involved now. Rowan attacks Jeff Hardy and then puts Jeff Hardy, and then Daniel Bryan puts Jeff Hardy in the Yes Lock, which is now the LaBelle Lock,
yeah,
because he's changed the Yes movement is dead. Then Samoa Joe appears and attacks Eric Rowan. Then he hooks Daniel Bryan in the Coquina Clutch. Then Randy Orton comes after Samoa Joe. Then Mustafa Ali appears with a double kick and a suicide dive. But Eric Rowan... it wasn't a choke slam. It was a face slam. He face slams like a iron claw slam onto the announce table. Then AJ Styles comes out. Phenomenal forearm to Jeff Hardy, Anita Samoa Joe, dropkick to Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan are able to move up the ramp unscathed, to which AJ is standing in the ring celebrating. And then they go backstage. To Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan, and Daniel Bryan is livid about the fact that of how things have gone down, and he says that he never needed Eric Rowan, and Eric Rowan is actually his friend. He's not just there to be a bodyguard or backup. Him and Eric Rowan have very intellectual conversations and all these things, trying to, you know, continue this thing that they are intellectual friends and not. He's not just the muscle to mm-hmm. back him up to make sure that he remains WWE champion. And then they go back to the ring to AJ Styles sitting on the ropes with the WrestleMania sign in the background as he poses to the crowd. And that, folks, was just SmackDown Live. Live from Everett, Washington, wherever that is.
And we are live!
All righty.
Oh, GTS. time for our smack up, smack down, and a smack in the face. It kicks off with me this week. So, my smack up is the WWE title Elimination Chamber picture and all. Hot tag. All right. If I may, I just, you know, I couldn't really pinpoint on one section of SmackDown about the Elimination Chamber because, you know, they spread it out and they did a real good job of it. And, like, if I may ask, not to, you know, not throwing it in shade or anything, but this Raw, are Raw going to have a, are they going to have an Elimination Chamber match? Okay, no. I didn't think so for the Universal title. And I just feel like, you know, WWE is doing a great job of making everybody seem like a big player in this match, you know, and, you know, it played a big part of that on SmackDown Live. You know, you had the seed playing between AJ and Jeff Hardy. I love that. Of course, Samoa Joe is like the MVP of the night again because everybody got smoked that he said he's going to get.
Right.
Even the people he didn't get last week, he got this week. You know, I just like how everything went on. And then the main event, the match, you know, Jeff Hardy. I don't think we had Jeff Hardy and Daniel Bryan fight before. Or no, they haven't because they both been both faces at the time. I mean, it's just like a real good, you know, I guess, well-played out storyline to go into next Sunday for the title match. And I just feel like, you know, they did a real good job with this. And that's what drew my interest the most on SmackDown. And, you know, I could have easily went with something else that opened up the show, which you already know we went through the rundown. But, like, I really enjoyed the seed they're planting in this storyline. And, like, next week is the going-home show, and I don't feel like they're going to undersell it any less than what they gave us because I feel like, you know, they have a goal with the WWE Championship, and I feel like, you know, Universal title is not going to be on the line, so they got to make – I feel like this should be the main event. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they do give them this rub and let them close out the show. But I just really enjoyed everybody's part in the show, even the promos, because Mustafa Ali, I think he cut another promo. You know, people, you know, the underdog and all that other type of things. And the little CE plan, I mean, like, you don't see him winning, but they made it seem like you can believe in him and everything like that. So, I mean, I just really enjoyed every part that has to do with the main event on Raw. I mean, not on Raw, but on SmackDown. And I just feel like, you know, we may be rewarded next Sunday with a real, real good dialogue, good match. I don't know what the outcome may be. I'm intrigued. Hot tag.
Hot tag. There's the tag, and he's ready to roll. This is the type of build that we want for everything.
Mm-hmm.
We want the type of build that gets you excited for the actual match. And that's what this program between all six of those competitors is doing for me. It's making me excited for this Elimination Chamber match. Don't know which way it's going to go. And that's always that's refreshing, too, to go into a match not knowing,
right,
man, they already got the plan to have this match at WrestleMania, so I don't know what they're going to do.
Exactly.
You know, like, the fact that we really don't know how this is going to go, you know what I'm saying, makes it that much more exciting. And then everybody, like you alluded to, everybody's getting equal opportunity to shine. Everybody's – different people are getting the upper hand. You know, it's like it's making the whole experience – that much more exciting. Like the Mustafa Ali Randy Orton match, like, I can appreciate the fact that Mustafa Ali, they are billing him to where, like, he has this fight, this underdog. He may not be the one that's picked to win, but he'll go in there and give you a good fight. He's gonna give you his best shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Randy Orton's what, 6'6", 6'7"? Mustafa Ali is nothing, you know, weight or height of in size to what Randy Orton is, but yet the two of them had a really entertaining match. Even with him taking that, you know, that shiner, you know, getting that black eye.
I actually missed that. I pinpointed after, but I didn't know that's what caused the swelling.
You know? Like, he was doing the Garvin stump and, you know, just put a little too much on it, you know, and swole it out. But, like, the match itself was good. You know, Mustafa Ali sells like nobody's business. I mean, we're talking Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston level selling, you know what I'm saying? And I think that just adds to, you know, how good he is, you know what I'm saying? Not only is his offense exciting, but the man will sell a move like no tomorrow, you know. And him and Orton put on a really good match. Of course, Orton didn't do anything super spectacular, but the RKO at the end. It was pretty much your standard Orton match before that. But it just all flowed well together. And then when Samoa Joe, like you said, Samoa Joe once again shows up. And, like, this dude is just so good. Please turn him loose. Right. Turn all of your – if your talent has the ability, turn them loose on the mic. Turn them loose when the cameras are rolling. Let them go out there and – because, honestly, like, I hang on every word.
Right.
This is what Paul Heyman used to be for us.
Exactly.
A long time ago.
And Bray.
And Bray. This is what they used to do for us. Anytime they had a mic in their hand or anytime they're in front of the camera, you like, what are you going to say next?
Yeah.
Like, I get excited when these guys have the mic or have an opportunity to, you know, talk to the crowd. That's the most exciting part. That gets you excited for it. And the way Samoa Joe delivers, I mean, time after time. I mean, he's knocking them out the park.
Mm-hmm.
From a promo standpoint, you know, that's what we need, you know what I'm saying, to keep it going. And then Daniel Bryan's promo, after that all went down, mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan's promo was excellent. And then the match going into the main event. So, like, all in all, like, I agree wholeheartedly. Like, that was probably the most entertaining part of the show. And ever since this match has been announced, it's just like, yeah, this is how I want to.
Right.
This is I definitely want to pass by that on the way to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah.
Who knows? Like you said, who knows what the outcome is going to be? What's the plan for WrestleMania? Because, like, you know, everything else is booked basically.
Right.
Universal title, the women's title on Raw, that's booked. But yeah, it's crazy, you know, how that's playing out. And like I said, I just look forward to that. Like, I'm intrigued. I mean, yeah. Are they going to give it back to AJ? Is Daniel Bryan going to retain? Are they going to try to go in a different direction, give it to Joe,
right,
and let Joe actually manipulate who he's going to pick as his opponent to WrestleMania? I mean, like, it can go so many scenarios. I mean, right, the only one I don't pick is Mustafa Ali, but the fact that he's in the match,
right,
may give you a percentage of the chance to actually say, oh, he might pull this off, but right, I don't think they're going to pull a trick on that.
Right.
No, but intrigued. Very intrigued.
Definitely.
Yep. Well... Time to take that turn, sir.
Yeah. We were so happy.
We was happy.
We were so happy.
Yeah. And, you know, this is going to bring me down. So.
That's what they do.
This is my SmackDown of this week. And my SmackDown is... No one's ready for Asuka? Where the hell is Asuka? This is your women's SmackDown WWE champion. And nowhere to be found. I think... Maybe I'm giving them a little too much credit, but I think they played a little promo.
They did.
Okay.
They did. I didn't say anything about it.
Yeah. I'm just making sure. I'm trying to think. I was like, am I crazy or did I miss it? But did I just make that happen? But, like, yeah, you give me a promo of your women's WWE champion on SmackDown and she's nowhere to be found. No kind of match. Give me a visual backstage interview. Don't give me a promo package like she's on the way to SmackDown or something. Like, you know,
yeah,
she's a call up or something. I just didn't like the fact that, you know, I get it. I so hardly get it that Becky is the front runner of the women's division right now. That's the most important thing that's right, going on right now. That's the hottest thing going on right now. But it diminishes what really is important on your show, mm-hmm, is your champion. When your champion is not even acknowledged to be an important factor, I feel like that's a bad part on creative. They could have came up with something. Even to the point where Charlotte could have, you know, getting involved with the Becky situation and, you know, getting her, you know, even though I know what the opening of the show led to Triple H and Becky stare down and all, mm-hmm, that type of stuff. But in the back of Charlotte's mind, maybe have Asuka come out and not interrupt, but kind of just play a part. Like, you know, I'm just waiting around to see who's left over, who's going to be ready for me because I'm the champion. I'm the one holding this. Not even saying, like, in a heel fashion, but let Asuka be like, you know, I'm the one holding the belt. Y'all fighting over pride and all this other type of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, Becky, I mean, like, she could have came out to Charlotte, like, Becky, I already have her WrestleMania plans. What about you? Or something like that. Mm-hmm. And have her open up, like you said last week, open up a rematch. Charlotte versus Asuka 2 at WrestleMania. And let Asuka get their win back, you know. Something like that. Like, I just, like, the fact that she wasn't even, you know, on the show besides that promo package. It bothered me. And like I said, to the point where it slightly bothered me that it wasn't a smack in the face, but it did to the point where, like, I need them to fix that immediately, even though she doesn't have a match going into an Elimination Chamber, but, like, this is your champion. Now I don't need to see your champion backstage and catering. Your champion backstage and catering. No.
Yeah.
Leave that to the other people who's not on TV, but not saying that they shouldn't be on TV at all either way, but they're not the champion. So. Right.
Maybe they're going to try to kick it up after Elimination Chamber.
I just really hope, you know, because the only thing I'm fearful of, and I've been hearing many reports, I'm trying to stay away from reports and everything, that they're trying to insert Charlotte in this match with Becky and Ronda. And I hope they don't go this route.
Because then it leaves nobody for Asuka to fight.
Exactly. WrestleMania. Yeah, I agree.
If,
I mean,
if they take Charlotte and put her as a triple threat in the Becky and Ronda match, then there's nobody for Asuka to fight. There's literally nobody.
I agree.
Because she's beating everybody. She's beating Nia. She's beating everybody on Raw because she was on Raw first last right. year. She's beating everybody on SmackDown since. There's nobody left. There's no match that's like, oh, I can't wait to see that.
Right.
You know, and you can't call anybody up.
No, it wouldn't make any sense.
It wouldn't make sense.
Line jumping. Anyway. Right. Yeah, you're right.
So it's like, it has to be Charlotte.
And it would have been cool, like I said, even though I don't know how long, I think she's going to be out for a while. You know, Ember Moon's going to be out.
Yeah.
I think past WrestleMania.
Yeah, she's going to be out for like 9 months.
Yeah, it'd have been cool if the fact that, you know, if they made a little jump to SmackDown and maybe we'll get the NXT rematch or something. Or,
right.
But they can't even go that route. So, yeah, I mean, the only person left for her to fight is somebody she hasn't beat, which is Charlotte.
It writes itself.
Yeah. Like I said, you pinpointed that last week.
It writes itself.
So, I mean, but yeah, I need to see more Asuka. I'm ready for Asuka. She says no one is. I'm ready for Asuka.
All right.
But that wasn't your SmackDown. No hot tag needed. So, Jay Fizzle, do you have a SmackDown of this week?
Oh, yes. My SmackDown of this week is the use of the club in the Shinsuke Nakamura.
Very close to mine.
Yeah, and the use of the club in the Shinsuke Nakamura Rusev debacle.
Mm-hmm.
When this whole United States champion, R-Truth becomes United States champion last week on the episode, I had an issue with that. But the fact that we're going to feed Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson to a tag team that's not even really friends.
Right.
They don't even get along. What story are we trying to tell here? Are we trying to, is this going to be the next challengers for The Miz and Shane McMahon at WrestleMania? Are we trying to get us to believe here in the next 2 months that Nakamura and Rusev should fight for the tag team titles? Are they now a tag team? Because if that's the case, then basically they could have kept Aiden English and Rusev together in the first place. If all we're going to do is throw Rusev back in the tag team and have Lana be the manager of the two. Like, it serves no purpose.
I agree.
These dudes deserve better. The club deserves better. Why couldn't they have been in the Fatal 4-Way? You know, mm-hmm. like, it's the club. These dudes are former tag team champions.
Yeah.
Heavy Machinery ain't won nothing nowhere. They haven't beat anybody anywhere. But yet they get an opportunity.
Twice. If you count Raw, too, as well. Yeah.
Twice. The club hasn't had a tag team title shot. And it's like, things are just so jumbled up. It's like, man, like, give us something different. Like, I don't want to see these. And it's like, I don't know what their contract status is, but I'm pretty sure that their contracts are coming up too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they signed right around the same time as AJ. You know, they all came in together. Right. Nakamura came in at the same time. Nakamura, AJ, and the club, they all signed those deals at the same time. Mm-hmm. Not in the same room, but in the same amount of time.
Period, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure all their deals are coming up. What do you do? Like, do you start the process of trying to get out of WWE or what? I'm like interested to see what's gonna happen with those guys because we were so high on them.
Very. They came in like boom. You
know what I'm saying? Three, four years ago, we were like, oh my god, this is it.
Yeah.
AJ Styles, Royal Rumble, you know what I'm saying? Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows attacked the Usos.
Now after WrestleMania.
Yeah. Like that was like huge. You know what I'm saying? Nakamura down at NXT. I mean, like, we remember the NXT moments this dude had. Him versus Sammy the first time. Man, they've thrown a cold bucket of water on all of that.
Yeah, they have.
AJ's the only one that's still maintaining to some level. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, he was stuck in a program where he was getting low blow with Nakamura the whole year.
Feuding with Shane McMahon at WrestleMania and shit like that. You know? Crazy. I mean, it's crazy to think what, you know, how high expectations we have for these people that came over from New Japan and everything. and WWE has yet to really, you know,
pull the trigger
on them. You know, except like you said, except for AJ, and like, you know, it was undeniable for AJ because, you know, he's one of the best talent in the world right now, and right. like, you know, you can't overshadow that as much because you put him in a ring with Shane McMahon, something special is gonna happen in that ring, you know, right. regardless who he fights. So, you know, it's like, yeah, that was real close to being my SmackDown because like it did, that tag match did bother me, and also kind of hung over from what happened on Raw, the fact that, you know, what's going on with their tag division. But like I said, I'm not gonna spend too much time on that because that's in our GTW about the tag team division. But yeah, right. just everything about that night, I mean, that night about this, I mean, even though I knew the week before when they had the match, right. I was like, it's no chance in hell the Good Brothers come out on top of this feud or top of this match and actually move forward and be in WWE's plans. And I feel like it was confirmed, you know, after they took the loss, because for a split second, I thought they was going to give him the victory because Nakamura was going to turn on Rusev or something like that.
He wasn't
going
to get in there and help him out or right. whatever.
But yeah, when Lana started trying to help him up, so like that, I kind of got a little confused. But like, you know, it happened, and so I was like, okay, whatever, I guess, you know. But at the end of the day, Good Brothers, are they gonna be here next week or what's going on? So I mean, and like right. I said, you got them, even have them involved with AJ or something. I mean, I don't know, this is something they could be doing. But like,
I mean, with Finn, I mean, they could have helped Finn with Brock. You know, I mean, anything.
Yeah, anything like that. Yeah. It's just the fact that, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, I would hate for them not to be in use of what they're there for as being a dominant tag team, but like just to have them show up one week and next thing you know they're out. I mean, I saw on a live event, they picked up the victory against Sanity, but that's another team. Where are they? You know?
Yeah.
But anywho, that's just my, I guess, point on that situation. But right. anywho.
Well, something was worse.
Yeah, something bothered you a little more.
Okay. Worse. So, let's get there. EJ, what was your smack in the face this week?
My smack in the face.
Americans have come to lending.
Not Americans, to shop. As my phone just said. But that sounded pretty bad. So my smack in the face. Americans. But anyway. I didn't enjoy, once again, Mandy Rose and Naomi. This is a part of the show, which, if, like I said, if I didn't have a clean tunnel vision on what's going on at the end of the show, I would have turned and not turned back. But I knew what was coming up. We had the seeds planting for the main event for the Elimination Chamber. But this tag match, once again, didn't do anything for me. I'm tired of the storyline. You know, the fact that even Naomi acknowledged the storyline. Then they pair up with Carmella, you know, and they cut this little promo. You know, okay. I mean, like, it isn't to the point where I can, you know, I'm kind of going backwards because the match wasn't as bad as what we got the week prior when we talked about that horrible crap they had between Mandy and Naomi.
Right.
Seemed like things were a little quicker and on pace this match, but at the end of the day, it's still a bad match. And like I said, the only thing that came positive out of this match to me, that you pushed a legit tag team forward and actually looking like a threat in an Elimination Chamber match coming up. So Mandy and, you know, Sonya picking up the victory actually helped them out going forward. But other than that, I mean, it's just like I said, I just feel like this is an unnecessary time slot for this match. And I feel like, you know, the forming of the teams and the continuation of the storyline of Naomi actually acknowledging that Mandy's mad because what happened 4 years ago, it tough enough and all that type of stuff. I'm like, man, I don't need this, man. Like, just try to get your win back. You know, you should have brought this up last week before y'all fought and all that other type of stuff, you know. But I just didn't like it, man. It just, that was the wackest part of SmackDown to me. And then, you know, once again, like, you could have gave me something with Asuka to fill in that void. I didn't need that storyline to be pushed. I don't, and not, to be 100% honest, like, I don't need to have to believe in Sandy, I'm about to put their name together, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose as a threat in the tag team division, because like I said, as far as the SmackDown women's tag team division anyway, is not good. I mean, Iconics are not being exposed as being a real great team, and you got Mandy and Sonya really not picking up too many victories as a tag team, mostly on their own by shenanigans and things. So it's just like that whole little tag team situation is just kind of just mixed up to me. That's all. I just didn't like it. That was the point where I wanted to turn, but I couldn't because there was other good things to come. How did you feel?
I enjoyed the segment. I enjoyed it. And I'm going to tell you why. This would have been one of my near falls, but since you mentioned it.
Okay.
I'm just going to go and throw it in there now. For me, this particular part of the show, and I'm coming to terms with it, is because of the fact of Corey Graves. Corey Graves gets Mandy Rose over every week. Like, his infatuation, his love for her, like, it's the most hilarious thing to hear on commentary to me whenever she's coming to the ring, backstage, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, he'll completely throw good sense out the window, and, you know, Mandy Rose can be, like, kicking a baby in the face. And he's going to find a way to make it the most beautiful thing ever, you know what I'm saying, because it's Mandy. And, like, I literally was, like, tripping, laughing, listening to Corey Graves on commentary and getting on to Byron about how, you know, Mandy basically can do no wrong. You know what I'm saying? And I really liked it. I really liked that part of it. The match was decent. Yeah. But I enjoyed it because I feel like Corey Graves was the MVP of that whole segment. Not even so much the in-ring work. Mm-hmm. Because he literally goes the extra mile to make sure that Mandy Rose gets over that. Everybody knows while he's on commentary, Mandy Rose is shown on the screen, and Mandy Rose is the most amazing thing to him ever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I appreciated that, as, you know, somebody looks, you know how we look at the different angles, you know, of, like, storytelling and, you know, things like that. It's like, yeah, I can rock with that.
Right.
Like, so I really appreciated Corey's work doing that particular point of the show. Like I said, the match wasn't terrible. It didn't, because I know they're not going to drop it. They're going to, you know, probably have him interact at the chamber and all the type of stuff like that. So it's right. Like, man, it's just not going away. It's still poorly written.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's funny because Miller referred to the fact that WWE is planning to go back TV 14. And mm-hmm. he made perfect mention. He said, well, if the creative process and the writing does not get better, it's going to be in vain anyway.
Right.
And this is one of those situations where we're already seeing that, hey, you probably need to go back to the drawing board with this whole Mandy Rose, Naomi situation, because you were trying to make it edgy, you were trying to keep us on the edge of our seats, and really we all sitting back like, man, when this shit's going to be over?
Because if you even think about it, once you just brought up what Miller said about the TV 14, like, back then, Ruthless Aggression and Attitude Era, it was good because of the storylines. I mean, the wrestling matches weren't all that, you know.
Yeah, the wrestling wasn't that good.
Definitely in Attitude Era, mm-hmm. The wrestling matches wasn't that good. It started getting really, like, you know, spot on every now and then mm-hmm. in Ruthless Aggression, because you had, like, Angle and Lesnar and Guerrero and mm-hmm. Benoit and all these other type of people putting on matches. So it started getting to the point where, damn, that was a good match. I mean, well executed, submissions mm-hmm. and everything. But, like, the storylines back in the Attitude Era was great, you know. Right. Greatly written, and I think, you know, like you said, like, if you don't change the storytelling, TV 14 ain't gonna change that. I mean, like, I'm not gonna just look at something and it doesn't, you know, pull me in. So
right, like, show more of your boobs.
Yeah, like,
but like, the story that got us to it is terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we love the story. Part of the reason why we're fans is because of the story. It draws us in. So, you know, Mandy and lingerie. And those Trent Seven lingerie is just not gonna do it.
Fix it. More.
Fix it.
But anywho, wasn't your smack in the face, sir. So tell me, what is your smack in the face?
My smack in the face this week, first time 2019, I do not have a smack in the face.
Aha. I know. It was kind of, I almost wanted to go in that direction as well.
Really good show.
But yeah, I mean, it was a very good show. Like I said, you know, I had to kind of reach for my smack in the face. But I couldn't let that go. I had to say something. Yeah. Like I said,
if it wasn't for Corey Graves, I probably would have shitted on it too.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
That's cool.
But Corey Graves so kept me from going in that same direction. Because he just entertained as hell on commentary. But I don't have one.
Okay. Well, that would do it for our review. Oh, volume sound up for the bell. So that would do it for our review. Let's get into some near and false. Unbelievable! Near falls. I mean, the elephant in the room. We gotta talk about it. Opening a SmackDown Live.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I love every part of it. I love Charlotte's part of it.
Right.
You know, the engaging. Like I said, the only thing I'm fearful is that they're gonna actually put in this match, but I love how Triple H came and said, Charlotte, this doesn't concern you. Get the hell out of here. And like, she actually got the hell out of there. It was no more Charlotte. So I appreciate that. But just Becky's attitude, whole demeanor, coming down to the crowd, coming through the crowd. Charlotte even brought the fact, you even still in Roman Reigns' entrance. That was funny. Mm-hmm. I like that part too. I mean, just everything about it, man. This is two nights in a row. Becky pretty much was the highlight of the show. You know what I'm saying? I think she opened up both shows, correct?
She did.
Yeah. That's the only thing that's, another thing is bad, which I know she's injured, but like, we only get Becky at the beginning of the show and that's it. Right. Like, she goes away. I think,
well, it sucks for Raw.
Yeah.
It definitely sucks for Raw.
Yeah. Because
Raw was, really hard to watch after that. Mm-hmm. But SmackDown, you know, there was a lot of good moving pieces, you know, so it didn't really drag after that. You know, it was actually pretty good. The show was really good, even post Becky, you know, but, Triple H is a hell of a promo.
Man.
He just did that. He did the whole thing. I mean, like, Becky just, and she just stood there and took it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Triple H is gold. As an authority figure, as able to tell a story and get you invested in on the story, like, the dude is that good.
I mean, Becky, you want to be cleared, see a doctor. I think you're just looking for another excuse to not face Ronda. You're not the man. You are a self-destroyer. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
That cut deep.
Yeah. Basically say that this whole thing is just a facade.
Because
he spent it so beautiful. And like the fact that like it was only a couple people that could have done that.
Yeah.
There was only a couple superstars that could have spent it that way. And I'm thinking like probably like Stephanie and Triple H were probably only two. Maybe Charlotte.
Yeah.
They could have got that point across to only make Becky that much bigger. Because, I mean, like, she's sharing the stage with Stephanie McMahon. She's sharing the ring with Triple H. All that's doing is making Biggie. That's making Becky even bigger. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And, like, that was dope.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the stock just keeps rising for her. And the fact that, you know, just her whole demeanor. Because, like, I'm wondering, like, is he finna crack her? Make her crack, you know? Under all this pressure, saying like, you know, you don't even want to face her because you know what she'll do to you. And like, I'm wondering, was he getting to her? And the minute I think he's getting to her, she smacks the shit out of his ass.
Right.
And looks at him smirking. That smirk just gave me chills. When she just in his face, like nose to nose almost. I mean, it brought me back to that McMahon, Austin era. You know what I'm saying? Just like, oh my God, here they go again. You know, type of shit. You know.
And I mean, how nostalgic for fans that have been around that long. This is just like, this is what you want.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Great TV. And like I said, it was accidental.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the fact that, like, every week, who do we look forward to seeing? The man. We look forward to seeing what's going on, who's going to engage with her, what is she going to do? And, like, that's how we felt about Austin as well. Like, you know, somebody said in the group that they really don't see the comparison about why we are comparing Austin and Becky right now because, like, she is the show. Like, this is what we're tuning in to see. And, like, when that music hits, boom. Like, when the crowd goes and sings her song, when she walks in at her ramp with the attitude she has, it just reminds you of what happens when that glass breaks when Stone Cold is marching the ring. It's like, oh, shit, business about to pick up. You know what I'm saying? So
what is she about to do?
Yeah, exactly.
What is she about to say?
Or what's going to happen to her? Like, somebody could come attack her and, like, try to make a name for herself. And, like, that's also can play a big factor, too. Like, you know, even when she captures this title, hopefully she does, at WrestleMania and shows up on Raw the next night, maybe a call-up will come up there and try to, you know, make a name for themselves and, like, make that moment a big moment as well for there. Right. You know, because, like, when people step up to Austin or Rock, you know, back then, that made them, you know what I'm saying? Right. And maybe that can launch somebody in the right direction as far as, like, call-ups that have been going horribly wrong for WWE lately.
Oh, my God.
So.
You're right. They've been going...
Yeah.
Horribly wrong.
Yeah. We don't need us.
But I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast,
exactly.
You know how bad, how horribly wrong they've been.
But yeah, I mean, that was very close to being my smack up this week. But Joe, you know, kind of changed my mind about that shit. So,
right.
But any other near
fall? We spoke to the Usos promo.
Yes.
Really good stuff.
Very good.
I mean, the fact that they're brothers, the fact that they know each other, they just have a certain energy, a certain timing. when it comes to, like, it's like they know what the next one's gonna say, and you know that's
it's almost like they're twins.
Yeah, it's like cliche as hell to say that, right? But like, yeah. it literally feels that way. Like they're that good when it comes to cutting the promo, and like I'm not excited about Shane McMahon and Miz being the SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions, but I mean, you throw them in there with the Usos. I mean, like, shit, I'm going to watch that match. Right. And I'm going to be entertained. I'm exactly. going to like it. Shane McMahon eating super kicks all night long. Sign me up.
I mean, you know, my only results that I would want from this whole storyline right now, I mean, maybe with Shane and Miz and the Usos or whatever. And I hate to say this because it's going to give Shane McMahon a match either way. But, like, I definitely don't want Shane McMahon and Miz going to WrestleMania as tag team champions. No, I don't want that at all. Mm-hmm. But if anything, possibly, let the Usos redeem themselves from a match last year at WrestleMania, going to WrestleMania as the champions again, and let Shane McMahon or Miz possibly break up and let them have their match at WrestleMania. Even though I don't want Shane McMahon involved at WrestleMania, but that's the only outcome I can see where I can actually stomach what's going on right now with this. If you disagree, let me know. But
I'm not against it. I have another idea though.
Okay, give it to me. Book it.
Okay. I would like to see Shane McMahon and the Miz, if they're going to fight the Usos, win the titles, retain the titles at Elimination Chamber.
Change my mind.
And then post-matches, they're celebrating the Usos, you know, outside the ring. The New Day hits the ring and literally demolishes them and basically turn heel right there.
I would take it. WrestleMania. I would take it.
That's what I would like to see happen.
So New Day versus Shane.
New Day heels. Mm-hmm. All the way, none of that on the fence stuff.
Yeah,
on the heels, like rip the crowd, like no more pancakes, no more bootios, no more nothing. Like we
no
just
bootios?
We rip all that out, all that apart. Like, and literally they go, like, we not doing this no more. We didn't play by the book. We didn't had all the fun and games. We didn't play with the fans and all stuff like that. Now it's about championships. And money, or whatever the case might be. And they go right after Shane McMahon and the tag team titles. And they win the titles at WrestleMania as heels. Big E and Xavier win the titles at WrestleMania as heels. And then we get Kofi Kingston on a singles push towards the WWE Championship.
I'll take it.
That's the only way to go with this, I think.
I'll take that. I'll take it.
Yeah. Book it.
Book it. But yeah, I just, you know, that's a...
Nothing against the Usos, but you know. I really want the New Day to go on and go heels. I don't want them hosting WrestleMania. I don't want them, you know, doing all the promo backstage with Tom. Nah, screw that. Time to go heel. It is time.
Yeah. I dig it. But, any more near falls? Any more near falls?
That's all.
Okay. Well, sir, it's time for that time. I said time for the time. That doesn't make any sense. It's time for that GTW, sir.
Yeah.
And the GTW is tag team wrestling in the WWE. We kind of pinpoint on far as the usage of talent. You know, early in this podcast episode, pretty much I remember you saying that Vince McMahon said they're promised to kind of use more talent that they haven't been seen on TV for a while. So I wonder, how much is that going to be involved with actually breaking up teams that I feel that shouldn't be together in the first place? And I feel like, you know, one of the problems with WWE is, you know, catering. Wordplay right
catering.
There.
Catering.
Yeah.
Maybe if they get rid of catering.
Nobody eats, goddammit. Even before you walk in the damn building. Boom.
Eat on your way.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, pairing tag people together when they have nothing for them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, this episode kind of exhorted that a little bit, you know, far as showing Shinsuke and Rusev together, right, which they could be doing other things. Not sitting there and say I'm against Mustafa Ali being in that Elimination Chamber, but hey, you could have used one of those two in that match. Mm-hmm. And even on Raw, you have, which I know I constantly bring up and I'm not a fan of, is Rude and Gable together. Like,
Beating teams that's been together.
Yeah. And like I said, yeah, it diminishes what a tag team should be. It should be like people who know each other so well, mm-hmm, who want to link up and to accomplish a goal as far as being tag team champions or something. Right. And I just feel like, you know, a lot of times, which a lot of talent on Raw, there's a lot of teams that are thrown together.
Meshed together, yeah.
You have the B team.
Oh, God.
You know, you have, even though it's it's going to get them over, but you have Zack Ryder and Hawkins. You know, you're putting them back together, which, you know, I understand, you know, they was a tag team.
That's before. A good storyline, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's a good storyline.
It still plays into you weren't doing anything with either of these guys. Now you're going to let them come and infiltrate an area where there's people that's been putting in their work.
Right. And like I said, you have your tag teams, which I'm going to pinpoint as well. You have your Ascension. You have your the Colognes. You have Sanity. You have the Good Brothers. You have a lot of tag teams sitting back there.
You had the Bludgeon Brothers.
Up until about 2 weeks ago. I think they actually, you know, they're asking that. And, like, you know, it was working, but yeah, it was kind of, you know, a little over the top, but it was working, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you had Luke Harper on TV all the time as a tag team champion, so, like, it worked. But, you know, you got these things going on, and the fact that, you know,
they even made.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Shout out to 3J.
That's exactly what I was about to say. And then they even meshed together the Lucha House Party.
Right.
That's not a tag team.
Exactly.
No matter how much they want us to believe it, because they all wear masks, they're not a tag team.
And they're all Latino.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what something is missing in WWE. Like, no, I miss the times where a tag team was a tag team. You know, they started as a tag team, and the goal is to be tag team champions.
Right.
Not just two people, hey, we both don't like this guy. Let's get together. Let's be a team. And, like, next thing you know, they're fighting each week, and next thing you know, they have a tag team title. Just like they did with Dolph Ziggler and Drew, even though it made sense, but, like, let them just be allied together. Don't make them a tag team, like, you know, taking up spaces from people who are actually crafting as a tag team.
And that's all they can do right now. Like, I think that's the point that you're making. Like, Shinsuke Nakamura, Rusev, they're singles competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Established singles competitors, former singles champions. Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, former singles competitors. Bobby Roode, Chad Gable, former singles competitors. They could easily be doing their own thing as singles. But you can't take Razor or Akam from AOP and put them on this path to be a singles competitor and make people believe it. Mm-hmm. The same way as you can't take Scott Dawkins or Dash Wilder and say, okay, now they're on a singles push.
Right.
Because they have been known as tag team wrestlers. Right. You know what I'm saying? You just like you can't take Gallows and Anderson. You can't split those dudes apart and say, oh, we're just going to push Anderson now. Or we're just going to push Gallows now. It has to make sense. When the Dudley Boys broke up and Bubba went on to win titles, singles titles, and Devon went on to win singles titles, that was totally different.
Mm-hmm.
When the New Age Outlaws broke up, those dudes were singles wrestlers already.
Yeah.
But when the New Age Outlaws got together and then they broke back up, they were able to stand on their own. You know, Intercontinental Championship, European Championship, Hardcore title, etc.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt anything. But you can't take a revival and say, oh, well, since you're not going to be the tag team champions, we're going to let you be singles. It doesn't work that way for tag teams.
Right.
So tag teams have to be in the tag team title picture.
Exactly.
Real tag teams. Because if Nakamura and Rusev, putting them in a tag team, having them squash a tag team because of a common goal, that makes no sense. If all you're going to do is make a triple threat match at Fastlane or WrestleMania versus R-Truth, the tag team thing is unnecessary. So,
I mean, perfect example. Like you said, that's what really triggered me so much that I actually want to pinpoint and talk about that because of the Rusev situation.
Right.
Nakamura. But, like, it's to the point, like you said, it's just like, that's where the ranking system and these wins need to matter because, like, you need tag teams to be on win streaks that are consistently on TV or even have a victory that's, you know, in the back of your mind. Like, yeah, they did win 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. This makes sense for them to actually be on TV trying to climb that ladder to get a tag team title opportunity. Don't just all of a sudden a four-way tag match. You got opportunity for the tag team titles with teams that have not even been on the roster for a whole 3 weeks. Heavy Machinery. You got teams that haven't been on TV for like a whole 2 months. B-Team. You know, things like that. Yeah, Lucha House Party have been displayed and showcased. But, like, nobody's really back behind them. It's like, man, like, they got something going. I can see them as tag team champions. I can see them actually picking up tag team victories over different people other than the Revival, you know, on week after week after roll up pins or, you know, anything like that. So I just feel like, you know, we always revert to a better times, but like even back in the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era, that, you know, Headbangers, Edge and Christian, Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy, Hardy Boys, I mean, Dudley Boys, you know, give me some more. I mean, there's some more out there. Remember, what was it? Trevor Murdoch and what's the other guy name?
Lance Cade.
I mean,
I like them as a tag team. I did too. Yeah, I like them.
Prime time. I mean, you had teams that was tag teams and like that was their goal. I mean, some people lead, like I said, we talk about this a lot of times on the podcast. Like, pick a lane and stay in it. Like, your path, I mean, like the Usos, I mean, their dream was to be tag team champions. Mm-hmm. Of course, maybe later on down the line, you want to separate them, or let's not even necessarily separate them, but like let one of them do a singles thing on their own. Mm-hmm. We okay with that because like they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, being a tag team.
And if you're not gonna do a tag team, then put the guys in the stable.
Stable, and we
that constantly... eliminates the problem if you create a stable. If you take all the luchadors. The Masked Luchadors mm-hmm. with Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio is the leader.
Yeah.
Why not?
Do it.
That eliminates a whole lot of that. Then they don't have to be a tag team. Then as they're building their name as a stable, they can become a threat in the tag team division. Mm-hmm. You know, like, basically everybody that's been running the tag team division over the last few years, with the exception of the Usos, have been teams that have been put together that really weren't teams.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They made the New Day into a tag team, but they weren't technically a tag team.
I mean, both tag
teams. The Bar is not a technically weren't a tag team.
Yeah.
They were made. And you got these guys that are individual standalone talents being forced into the tag team division.
On both products, Raw and SmackDown.
And taking away opportunities from people that can only do tag team wrestling right now.
Right.
Think about how long it'll take for a Dash Wilder, a Scott Dawson, to actually work themselves up the ranks as a single competitor.
Mm-hmm.
If they broke up the Revival today, think about how long it would take them. If they broke up AOP today, how long it would take them to build those guys up as singles competitors. Look how long it took for Jeff Hardy to get a WWE title.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Look how long it took. It didn't take that long with Luke Harper to get an Intercontinental title, but look, they threw him right back into a tag team, and now he's back in catering.
Same thing with Gable. I mean, like, yeah. Gable... After they broke up and put Jason Jordan on Raw and left Gable on SmackDown, Gable was having some real good single matches on SmackDown. And the fact that when he got back to Raw, they threw him back in the tag team, that's sour. And just like you were saying, also it's like both of your tag team champions on both shows are people paired together.
Mm-hmm.
You got Shane McMahon and Miz.
And right before that, it was The Bar.
Yeah. And like, but you got Shane McMahon and Miz, and then you got Rude and Gable on Raw. I mean, it's like two teams. Not saying I want Shane McMahon in the singles run, but you got people who are being held captive because they're stuck in a tag team when you got tag teams catering. Right. You know what I'm saying?
The colognes.
Cologne. And like,
no television time.
And I mean, like, they're a really good tag team. I mean, right. Like, I feel like, you know, as much as they expose so many of the tag teams out there and give them chances, I feel like the colognes need a chance too as well. I mean, these people who held the title a couple times before this brand split came back and all this other type of stuff. Exactly, 3J.
Right.
So, you know, like, even that, and like I said, the fact, I feel like they should completely just do something different with the Ascension. I don't know what they can do, but, I mean, I don't, of course, it's just, they need to do something different with that, because I think that's the saddest story in NXT call-up history is the fact that how bad this team got treated when they got called up.
It's JBL's fault.
Oh, yeah, because of all that, yeah. The legends and when they were going against the mm-hmm. legends and everything, mm-hmm. too, yeah.
JBL squashed them folks on commentary in 2 minutes, and they never got back to being worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this then. What do you think about a 6-man tag team title for WWE? Is there room for that?
I don't think so. I just don't think so.
So your answer is fix the tag team division as it currently stands. Fix what we have. Don't add anything else.
I mean, it's fixable. I mean, like I said, you know, it's kind of a piggyback off what RBU was saying. But, like, you know, SmackDown has great tag teams. I'm not going to say great. They have good tag teams that put on decent matches. I just feel
way
like
better than Raw.
Way better. You know, I feel like it's just but, like, Raw had the opportunity to have those same tag teams. I mean, you got Revival. You got the Ascension. You got AOP. You got all these call-ups that came from NXT that were tag team champions. And you kind of just bring them up and then don't do anything with them.
Right.
So this is kind of like, you know, they could be in the same boat because we've seen these classic matches on NXT between all three of these teams I just named. And, like, the fact that, you know, we putting titles on the B team. We putting titles on Chad Gable and Bobby Roode. We giving Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose a tag team title run when they're already super established main card talent. It's just like, you know, Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler, when they are already established, that's the thing that's holding SmackDown.
Braun Strowman and freaking Kid.
I mean, that's what's holding Raw back, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, even though SmackDown, we've seen The Bar hold the title numerous times. We've seen New Day hold the title numerous times. We've seen The Usos hold it numerous times. But, like, the thing you don't do is give it to Shane and The Miz and let them hold the captain. You still got talent, like you said, Sanity and Colognes and whoever else backstage. I mean, I feel like you could be doing something else. And Luke Harper, definitely, like I said, even Cesaro, these are people you need to, like, okay, let's try them for a minute. But even though, like I said, you know, maybe we don't really know what's going on backstage. Maybe they're okay with this role, but at the same time, you know, like, in the end of the day, you call the shots. Switch it up.
I think another way they could fix this is they reverse the pipeline. And to where the bar, the revival, can go back to NXT UK. Like, Sheamus and Cesaro have NXT roots.
Mm-hmm.
Why not send them back to NXT UK? They don't even have to be the dominant champions. Use them in a way to put them over. I would love to see Mustache Mountain versus the Revival. The Revival versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. I would love to see those matches.
Mm-hmm.
Matches that we'll probably never get because these guys are so fed up with the BS on the main roster that they're probably going to leave and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Why not look at it from the standpoint of a fan? Like, these are matches that we would like to see. It's about entertainment.
Right.
Why not find a way to produce those types of matches? NXT and NXT UK 205 Live, they're starting a thing here where all three of those talents, you know, all three of those, you know, collections of talents are starting to do work together. Drew Gulick.
Yeah.
Was on NXT this week.
Great match with Matt Riddle.
Yeah. My match to watch for.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. See that match? I just thought about it when we got on this topic. That's really my match to watch for. I had another one, but I'll probably still give you that one too. But yeah, like, the fact they're letting 205 Live people show up on NXT. They sent in Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch to NXT UK to go against Zach Gibson and James Drake for the NXT UK titles. Why not use that same thing with the main? Because honestly, being on the main roster doesn't mean anything anyway.
Right.
It's not like the main roster so much better. That's not what that means.
You're just traveling more. That's all.
It doesn't mean that the level of talent is so much different on the main roster. That's not what it means at all. It just means that, hey, you might have started here versus this person. Because I know Adam Cole can go head up with AJ Styles. Regardless of him being in NXT,
right.
I know AJ Styles versus Adam Cole is a hell of a match.
Hell yeah.
And I've seen that match before and enjoyed the hell out of it. Just like I know Roderick Strong versus Shinsuke Nakamura is a hell of a match. Regardless of him being in NXT right now and Nakamura being main roster, it doesn't matter.
And that's another thing, too, and not to sidetrack you, but it's like, you know, the fact that, you know, Roderick Strong, you know, ever since he linked up with Undisputed Era, they kind of like, not saying diminished, but they kind of like, he's only involved in a lot of tag matches, which I know we've seen a lot of great Roderick Strong matches in the singles run. And, like, you know, not saying they're saying it's a huge problem on NXT because NXT rarely have a lot of problems. But it's just like, that's something I did notice this week because, you know, like, if we talking NXT for a little bit, how, you know, Adam Cole confronted Ricochet at that photo shoot. Right, you know, Roderick Strong's just kind of in the background, you know. And you know, even though we came accustomed to being used to that, but it's kind of like, you know, like, I like to see him mix it in on a couple more single matches a little bit more. Just, you know, be a little more familiar again with what he was signed there in the first place too. But, like, even on we keep it, you know, going to NXT or going back to the Attitude Era, as far as things they get right, how they build a tag team division on there is completely great. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you have tag teams that come out of nowhere, or talent that come out of nowhere on NXT, and like, they actually like, I can get behind them. They may not win, but I can get behind them.
I remember when the Revival was just starting out. Mm-hmm. And like, I thought they was just like two dudes. They was just throwing in the ring.
Yeah.
And then they became a real thing. And I was from day one.
Yeah.
I was sold. I was like, yeah. Bought the shirt and everything. This is it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we want. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, if they could take that same energy and transported to the main roster, what it could really be. You know what I'm saying? Because they you can tell that they're trying way too hard on the main roster.
Yeah.
They'll try to make people get over, or try to make things, make us accept certain things. Whereas like NXT goes with the flow. I didn't know I wanted Drew Gulak and Matt Riddle this week.
Or don't forget the other guy. What, Bugenhagen or whatever?
Eric Bugenhagen?
Oh my God.
That shit was over.
I loved it. I'm sitting there marking out, and I had to look
at his theme song. I had to go back and look at it again.
I had to look up his theme song, yeah. Like, even though it's a crowd inside on YouTube, you can listen to his theme song. I mean, that theme song, I love 80s rock, so
yeah.
That was all 80s rock.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's how you do it, though. You have somebody show up out of nowhere, mm-hmm. and the people instantly fall in love with it.
Yeah.
They don't do that on the main roster no more. They like, oh, well, you go to NXT, oh, yeah, we got so-and-so being called up. What has Lacey Evans done since the Royal Rumble? Nothing. Where's Lars Sullivan? Nowhere to be found. EC3's involved. He just beat Dean Ambrose.
I just heard about that.
He beat Dean. I didn't see it. That was after I had already turned it up. After Jeff Jarrett fought, I turned it off. Mm-hmm. But he beat Dean Ambrose? EC3. Yeah. Dean Ambrose.
And what they're doing with him is just a travesty.
It's not working out. It's not working out. But that's what you're doing with your main roster. Mm-hmm. You bring him up to the main roster to be the eye candy for the girls or whatever the case might be. Haven't we seen that role with him already? Like the lover boy or whatever like that? Alexa Bliss drooling all over him? Mm-hmm. Have we not seen that?
We've seen it, all right.
Yeah.
But I mean, in conclusion, it's just like I said, you know, tag team wrestling can get back to the point where it's exciting again. It can headline your pay-per-views or be the main point of your show, or something people look forward to in the show, or something that the talent wants to do. So yeah, we can sum up our GTW on that note. Good topic though.
Yeah.
I mean, it opened up a lot of discussion. You know, always branches out to other things, you know, when we start talking about it. But
one quick thing.
Yeah.
This is what WCW was known for. You had Harlem Heat. You had the Outsiders. Right. The Steiner Brothers. You know, you had tag teams that was only tag teams. Now, when they finally went on to do their singles run, mm-hmm. it was way more believable because they had made mm-hmm. such a name for themselves as tag team wrestlers.
And not only that, they had a lot of stables in WCW, which also, you know, you had your Ravens flock, you know, with Perry Saturn and Kidman and, you know, and all these, and Raven, of course, you know, and other, it was a Sick Boy.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody got TV time to the point where when you actually elevate them, it makes sense. So,
right.
Sum up everything. I mean, use what you have and stop putting things together that's not necessary to go, that doesn't need to go together. Right. Just because, just like I said, you're going to have some unhappy talent regardless. Some people are not need to be used every week. That's the way.
And everybody's not meant to be a singles champion.
Correct.
Hawk and Animal.
I definitely would never want to see. I mean, like, when tag teams are involved in Royal Rumbles, it gets on my nerves sometimes, too.
Right.
Unless they're super over tag teams that, you know, deserve that credibility. But, nevertheless, before we got here, JTW. J Fizz, you have a match to watch for.
Yeah. As I already alluded to, Drew Gulak versus Matt Riddle from NXT this past week. Didn't know we were getting that match.
Not at all.
Hell of a match, though. You definitely want to see it. Go out of your way to see this match. Drew Gulak versus Matt Riddle. Hard hitting. And for the independent wrestling fans, this is a catch point reunion of sorts, because they used to be in a stable together on the Evolve.
Yeah, I saw
a
little picture or something. Yeah. Show that they did a little, I guess, a little handshake they did or whatever.
Right. This is catch point all over again. And it was respect there because, you know, the two of them, you know, used to be in the stable together. They are, you know, technicians when it comes to wrestling, you know. Just a really good match. Drew Gulak had a good run in the world when Worlds Collide too. I'm not gonna suggest that you go and watch it, but there are a couple matches there that you should probably check out as well. Tyler Bate, Velveteen Dream, Jordan Devlin versus Velveteen was really good as well. Tyler Bate, Adam Cole was really good. So there are some matches there. There's some quality there.
How many matches were there in particular?
It was a 16 tournament. It showed the whole tournament. You had to go on YouTube to watch the lore part of the tournament. Yeah. They didn't show much, but they showed a match maybe after quarterfinals, and then they showed the semis and the finals. So
okay.
Yeah, but it was pretty good. Also, because I don't want you to have to wait. Check out NXT UK episode 28, Mustache Mountain versus Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner, main event of episode 28 NXT UK. Damn good match. Go out of your way if you got the network. See those matches. Check out the ending of the towards the end of the When Worlds Collide. It picks up as the tournament progresses. So see that.
Yeah, they Aichner and them, they're one of my favorite up and coming tag teams. Cause I mean, when they paired them together, I'm like, okay, you know. But then after the match they had with Danny Burch and them, I was like, okay, I can get behind this. Like you, like we always said, I can get behind this. So I'm looking forward to watching that match as well, as you recommended. But I think that would do it for this week, sir.
Indeed.
Check out 1515 now for other content. Podcast such as RBU. If you want to go straight to GTS and RBU, type in 1515.com/wrestlingroundtable. Table.
Mm-hmm.
Check out us on check out GTS on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. And we're on Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. So look for us on there.
Mm-hmm.
And next week's Elimination Chamber. So we'll have our predictions next week and the going home show. So look forward to that. And until next week, this is your boy, Jay the King.
You guys,
and we are out to see Chalala.